you know, literally renew, create, renovate them into something entirely different and better. That's how he chose to raise up sons. He didn't take the, you know what I mean? I mean, he could have made me like this. He could have not made, but I mean, he could have made a soul like me that was more excellent, that was more, you know, much more, so many things I lack as a human being. I mean, a certain amount of, what is that quality? I want to say diligence, but I'm, you know, I could have been diligent in the things I am diligent in, but also in the things that I'm slack in. He could have made someone a little more stable in regards to, you know, I tend to be, to run hot and cold. I guess God doesn't like lukewarm either, but whatever. You know, what I mean is, like, I have my moments of very active, you know, and then I have times when I just feel like I can't do nothing. And, you know, in my life, I went through a lot of things. It's like, I don't know, I guess I don't want to, I begin to feel like I don't want to bore him with my story. But I guess my point would be, like, I'm not, I don't count myself as being elect of God as because I'm special. It's, no, it was just, if I am chosen of God, it's just because, well, that's what he decided. He decided I'm going to choose him. And it should be, the election of God should be something that causes an incredible amount of humility to come over you. Knowing this, that it is not for any good thing or great thing about you that he chose you, but for his own counsel and his own mercy's sake he chose us. It's not because you did some great deeds in some, you know, like my former teacher taught. They stood against Satan in the world it was. Or they did something in some previous life, almost like reincarnation. Or pre-incarnation, whatever. It's a bunch of nonsense. God's grace comes without any respect of who you are, of persons. It's just, it's, I almost dare say, it's almost random. At least, you know, I could look at myself and say, well, he chose me for certain qualities I possess, but there are better people than me who will probably not be chosen. You know, whatever. He chose David, a man after his own heart. Not so much that David was like all the things he loved. He was a man whom he chose according to his heart, what he wanted to choose. He chose me because he wanted to choose me. And maybe he put things in me that were pleasing to him indeed. You know, but God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. So not many wise are called, not many mighty. You know. So intelligence is not always a net positive for the kingdom of God. That sounds anti-intellectual, and I know it is. But here I am, I intellectualize the word, and so I think to myself, I'm like, well, there's some call for it. But God has chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. This is the way he does it. And it's very simple in its own way. I mean, the thing is, where the wisdom and the craftiness almost comes in handy for me is in seeing the folly of other men and seeing past the ways in which they condition you to think and the ways in which, you know, we've been brought up in a world in which we're taught to think a certain way about Christianity. We're taught to think a certain way about Jesus, about the Bible. We're taught, you know, if you've grown up in these things, you've been taught a certain way. And sometimes it takes knowledge to see that and to recognize it and to get through it, to break through it. But the gospel itself is so simple. Once you understand it, I find it very easy to teach. And in fact, sometimes I think my what smarts I do possess are almost a barrier because I start getting off on other things. But you know, all these gifts were given to be shared and for the edifying of others. So I'm not going to speak evil of that which God has given me. So they will perish in their own corruption. The whole reason I got on that tear was because we are created for His pleasure. And whether that be vessels of destruction, made to be taken and destroyed, or for mercy and eternal life. Verse 13 says, they shall receive the reward of unrighteousness. There is a reward for unrighteousness. It says the wages of, and that word reward is wages, misthos, which is the word for wages. The wages of sin is death. The wages of unrighteousness is death. As they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. To riot is literally, it means living delicately. You know what I mean? It's like, it means more in the sense of living in pleasures. You know what I mean? Instead of being at work or being industrious, but rather they live in pleasure. You know, I mean, a riotous living in the Bible, you know, we think of riot as like everyone going in the streets and, you know, that too, you know, I mean, that obviously is evil. Spots they are in blemishes, sporting themselves, which means to revel in or indulge in luxury with their own deceivings. Again, I do not think just of people doing, you know, all kinds of wicked things we think of normally as being like these great wickedness things. So, you know, child molesters, sodomites, murderers, you know, Christians usually look to those things. And I don't think I should put necessarily sodomites in that category with the child molesters and the murderers. But, you know, adultery is put right after murder. So, I mean, it's akin to that. It's in the adultery class. So, since adultery, fornication, sodomy, etc., etc., all that sort of lack of self-control with regard to, you know, the perversion of the flesh. It's all in the same category. You know, but, you know, if you offend in one point of the law, you've offended all. So if I do know sodomy, but I am a, you know, a looker of pornography, then I become that. That's why in Christ we need to be unspotted, unblemished. We have to seek God that He could deliver us from the lusts of the flesh and from this present evil world. That's what Christ died to do.